and we will share together today. Obviously, being as this is Father's Day, we will think about fathers today. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 and 2, we're going to look at some references in that those two chapters. So you may want to open your Bible there and be ready to look at some of those references. I come today to thank God and to simply title, We Praise God for Our Fathers, and to celebrate this day. So let's think about that. I want to look at some of the example of God using Joseph as the father of Jesus as we think about that. But I think the principles apply to all fathers. And also that probably the truth that we're going to talk about would apply to all of us, whether we're fathers or mothers or children or whatever. So hopefully we'll see the connection. So if you found that those passages, scripture, we're going to start, if you have your outline out, I encourage you to write some notes on that. Praise God for fathers who hear God. The first thing I want to write in. Praise God for fathers who hear God. Look at some references in these two chapters. First of all, in Matthew 1, starting verse 18, a familiar passage to us. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to them in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's one reference to Joseph hearing from God. Then in chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 again, we find that, behold, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Egypt, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And then down in verse 22, again it says, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee. These occasions remind us that here was a man who could hear God, knew that God was speaking to them. And I'm grateful today for fathers who seek to hear God. Can we still hear God? We don't hear him verbally sometimes, although I've had individuals who said they have actually heard verbal God talk to them that way. But in our spirit and our mind and our heart, God still talks to us. So I'm grateful for God, for fathers who hear God, who listen for God. Now, when we think about that, how do fathers hear God? One way is when they read the scripture and God's word speaks to them. God, when we read this book, is God still talking? Is he still communicating to us? So fathers who read the word and listen for God to speak are those who are open to hear God, to know that God is talking to them. I'm grateful for men who hear God, who love God, who are open to his word and are desirous of hearing him speak to their heart and life. So I praise God for fathers who hear God in his word. Another way we hear God is in prayer. Are you ever praying and all of a sudden something comes to your mind, a thought, an understanding, an insight comes? And that's God, that's his Holy Spirit communicating to us. And God brings through our mind truth and understanding. So I praise God for fathers that when they pray, they're listening for God to talk back. Because when we pray, is God going to talk back? Yeah, he likes to talk back to us. He likes us to listen. And so I praise God for fathers who will hear him as they pray. Then I praise God for fathers who hear God sometimes in just meditation, just thinking about God, thinking and mulling over in their mind the truths about God, and insights come, truths come, and God speaks to us and we hear him. Sometimes they hear God from other Christians. Does God ever speak to you through another Christian? See, as you think and as you pray or as you talk, sometimes they talk to you and they say things to you that you didn't want to hear, but you need to hear it anyway, and God speaks to you. And so I'm grateful today for those who, fathers who hear God, and as far as that goes, everybody else who hears God too. But it's a joy to know that we can hear God. I'm glad that's available. He's available to us. During a time, there were some young boys debating about their fathers. Whose father was the best? Well, as they talked about them, they talked about who their father knew as a place of importance for their father. The first boy started by saying, "Well, my father knows the mayor." Well, the second boy decided to top that. He says, "That's nothing. My dad knows the governor." The father of the third boy was listening to all of this, and he said, "The stakes are getting pretty high. I wonder what his son's going to say." So he was listening closely to what his son said. The last little boy said, "So what? My dad knows God." Amen. Folks, I'm glad for men who know God and hear God. That's a good statement. I believe that would be a great honor to have an individual in our family, our children, say, "My dad knows God. He knows how to hear God and to walk with God." The second area is praise God for fathers who participate in God's plan, who become a part of what God's doing. God's plan involves His purpose of bringing the good news of Jesus to the world and bringing salvation to men and women. But I want you to notice this. As I read through this, I noticed how it refers to Joseph participating in God's plan. So let me look at some references. Again, in Matthew chapter 1. Verse 22 and 23 says, Mary talked about it, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be called Jesus. Verse 22 and 23 say, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. And then in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "He remained there until the death of Herod," talking about where he went to Egypt. "But he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Down in verse 23 of chapter 2, it says, he came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He should be called a Nazarene. You realize that Joseph was being used of God to fulfill the plan of God in bringing his son into the world and seeing that Jesus lived and fulfilled his purpose. And so God was fulfilling his plan through a father who was willing to participate with God and to cooperate with God in the so doing. Now, let me ask you something. Is there a plan for your children? Do you as a father have a part in the plan of God for your children? Are you not? I believe that, let me say it this way, I believe that when God brings children into the world, God has a plan for them. And you as their father are participating in the plan of God for the life of that child, but also for the plan of God Himself. For God has a purpose with every life. God has a plan for every child that is born. And so when, as fathers, when we participate in walking with God, we participate in God's plan, and that you are working with, cooperating with God in the life of those children that God brings into your life. What a privilege to think about that. We are involved in the plan of God, His purpose, and His desire to reach the world, and His purpose in bringing everybody to Him. We fulfill the plan of God. Praise God for men to understand. I'm not just a daddy. I'm not just a father. I'm working with the Heavenly Father to fulfill the purposes of the Heavenly Father on this earth through the children He puts me in touch with. And as far as that goes, it may be other children besides your own. But we need to recognize today as fathers, we're participating. We're involved with God in a plan that God has a purpose for. And so as we walk with God, as we obey God, as we follow Him, which I'll talk more about obeying in a minute, but in that process, we get to take part with what God is doing. To me, that's awesome. That God will let us be in on what He's doing. The third area is we praise God for fathers who believe and obey God. For fathers who believe and obey. I want to suggest that when I believe, how do I know I believe? I can say I believe. I can think about I believe. But how do I know I believe? When I do what I say I believe. Do you realize that what we do is what we believe? I can tell you I believe a lot of stuff. But what I do out of that tells you what I really, really believe. And so what I'm suggesting is I praise God for fathers who believe God, and out of believing God, they obey, they fulfill what God had in mind. So let me look at some of those again. In Matthew again, chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, Joseph had heard from God. Joseph awoke from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Down in chapter 2, verse 21, it says, so having been told to take care of his family, Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And then in verse 22, it said, when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father, he was afraid to go there. And 23, he came and lived in a city called Nazareth. What I'm suggesting is that Joseph heard God, he believed God, and then he obeyed what he heard from God. I thought about it. We often commend Mary for who she was and her faith, and I agree with that. But I think Joseph was also a man of great faith as well. How many men do you know would take a woman and raise a baby that wasn't his? You think about it. He knew it was his child. I saw this actually happen in reality. We had a friend one time who married a girl who had a baby that wasn't his, and he raised the child as his own. That takes some integrity and some honesty and some character. But Joseph believed God enough to take Mary as his wife and to believe that what God said was true. How many of you men would believe if God told you that the woman you're going to marry had a baby and it wasn't yours and it wasn't any other man's either? Well, that's what he said. This baby has been conceived by the Spirit of God. It had never happened before. We look at this. We have Scripture. We have this background to deal with when we read it. But can you imagine being in Joseph's shoes and not ever heard of such a thing before, and God to come to him and to believe that the angel of God said to him, this child is of the Spirit of God, and God is doing this unusual work, and to believe God. I think it took a great deal of faith on Joseph's part to believe what God said and then to respond to that in obedience to take Mary as his wife. The Scripture doesn't tell us what happened, but I would just wonder what his friend said to him. You're doing what? You're going to take this woman and it's not your baby? Do you think he got any criticism? I think he did. It didn't say in Scripture, I just imagine, because the thought of women without having baby without being married in that day was a whole lot more serious than we treat it today. We don't think a whole lot about it. But in his day, it could have resulted in Mary's being stoned to death. I mean, that was serious. But Joseph believed God enough that he took her, the Bible says, and kept her a virgin. And that's pretty good for a guy. For 9 months. At least, okay? Approximately. He believed God enough that he obeyed and did what God said. So, and in the other passages I read, when God spoke to him, he didn't argue with God. He just did what God said to him. He believed God enough to obey. And so I praise God for men and fathers in particular who are willing to believe God enough to obey him and live that out. What a good example that is for us. So I praise God for that. There were some children, some first graders, who were asked to draw a picture of God in their Sunday school class. Well, their finished products had some interesting pictures that were drawn and some interesting theology, probably. One child depicted God in the form of a brightly colored rainbow. Another presented his picture of God as an old man in the clouds. One little boy drew a character that looked a whole lot like Superman. But he said the best snapshot came from a little girl who said, "I didn't know what God looked like, so I just drew a picture of my daddy." Men, may God help us to be who know, who love, obey, believe God, that someone else can see Him in us and see Him at work. The next area is, I praise God for fathers who protect their families. Fathers who protect their families. Down in chapter 2, there's more than one reference, but let me read this in verse 13. It says, "So now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take this child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. And he stayed there until Herod was dead. But he was going to take care of his family. Joseph, in order to protect his family, his wife and his child, gets up in the middle of the night, takes them to Egypt. Now, I got a feeling they probably didn't get in their vehicle and drive. They probably walked or maybe rode a donkey or some other in the middle of the night. But he believed God enough. But he wanted to protect his family enough. And in several of these references in Matthew's gospel, it shares about him moving because he was afraid his family could get in trouble. He protected them. And I'm grateful today for fathers who protect their children, their families physically, protect their children, try to keep them out of harm's way, and they do that to see that they don't get hurt. They don't want them playing the street or all the other stuff. But let me suggest something else about fathers who protect their families. What about fathers who protect their families from ungodliness? Is that important too? I believe it's important for our fathers to protect their families morally, to keep them out of stuff. Sometimes fathers do things and they say to their kids, "You can't go there, or you can't watch that movie, or you can't do this or that." Are they protecting their kids? Or are they just being honored because they don't want them to go? Most of them are doing it because they love them. They care about them. They want to protect them from stuff that will hinder them and that will harm them. And so I want to suggest and praise God for fathers who try to protect their family from that stuff that would distract them. Is there an enemy who wants to destroy its kids? Is there an enemy who wants to get them off track on something other than God? Why in the world, as I throw this out, I read or heard recently that children as early start get exposed to pornography at 10 or 11 years old. That's cruel. That's cruel. The enemy is out there. So, fathers, thank you for watching what your kids watch on computers and on their smartphones today and all the other stuff they got. Protect them. They don't need all that stuff. One of the things that bothers me a lot today about children is many children are not allowed to be children anymore, to be young and innocent. They're exposed to so much trash and so much ungodliness on the movies and even the TV programs. They can't just be innocent kids anymore. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like that's sad for kids who can't just be ordinary kids and all that other stuff. So fathers, thank you for protecting your families from those kind of things, from what they see, hear, where they go. But also, thank you for protecting them spiritually. Is there any deception spiritually out in the world around us? Do a father need to be alert that there are certain teachings, certain groups who want to tell your kids certain things and be able to tell them that's not true? Protect them from that stuff that's being told them, even among some teachers in school. Do they need to protect them for the truth in those situations, so their kids know the truth? Because if you don't do it, you know what? Nobody else is going to do it either. Christian men, we need to stand up and say, this is what truth is, and we teach them to watch out for deception. Teach them to know the Word and the truth of God themselves. Now, how are we going to teach them all those things? We do it ourselves first. We teach much by what we do, maybe more by what we do than what we say. So we have the privilege as fathers. So praise God for fathers who protect their families from those kind of things. The next area I think about for a moment is praise God for fathers, for the father He gave me. Praise God for the father He gave me. The scripture says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? The scripture talks about we had earthly fathers and we respected, we honor them. I recognize that different people have different backgrounds as to their earthly father. Some had wonderful fathers. Some had fathers who were absent. Some had fathers who were difficult to live with. And so when I put this, when I say this, praise God for the father He gave me, sometimes it's hard to do. But are you who you are partly because of who your father is, your earthly father? Who you are as a person, the fact that you're alive and you have the opportunity to know God and you have the opportunity to live and serve, is that not directly related to the person that God allowed to be your father, your earthly father? So I can thank God for him even if I can't thank God for all that he did. And so I'm suggesting that I need to praise God for the earthly father, as this passage says, and respect them even though they did not deserve respect. I'm grateful for those who do have fathers that you can respect and have the privilege of having Christian fathers. I thought about this. I don't know why God allows some of us to have good fathers and some of us not. I guess if I had my way, we'd all be good fathers. Kids would all have good fathers. But God doesn't always, somehow it doesn't always work. But I thank God for the earthly fathers. But when I think about praising God for the father he gave me, I also thought about not only is it my earthly father for whom I personally am grateful for. My earthly father was a blessing for me personally. I didn't get to live with my earthly father long, but I'm grateful for the years I did have with him. I've often wondered what it'd been like to know my father as an adult. Because my father got killed when I was 13, and so I didn't know him as an adult. But I'm thankful for what I know, because part of my life today, I am who I am partly because of who he is, who he was, and what he did. But also, who else? What other fathers? What about grandfathers? Do they have any influence on us? Can we be grateful for grandfathers who love us, who cared for us, who maybe taught us about Jesus? My own personal life is my grandfathers on both sides of my family were people who loved Jesus, who went to God, who went to worship. And my granddad on my mom's side was one of my biggest fans when I started preaching. I'm grateful for that grandfather because he influenced my mom, who influenced me, and the same as my dad and his father. So I thank today, I say, well, I thank God for not only for my father, but for my grandfather. Let me also suggest today that we're going to praise God for stepfathers. Sometimes stepfathers get left out of the picture. Kids don't like them sometimes. But they're the person that God let be in your life for whatever reason. So I want to praise God for those stepfathers who are willing to step in and help. Again, you might have had a good one if you had one, or maybe not. But I celebrate, praise God, for the fathers he gave me. And then I thought of another one this morning. It just hit me. I praise God for the fathers of my grandkids and my great-grandkids. You know, with Father's Day, we usually think of our father or grandfather. But I have 9 grandkids. They have 3 daddies. Some of them are not where I want them to be today. But I thank God for those fathers because I sure like my grandkids. And I like my great-grandkids. You see, we're here because God gave us those. Those fathers are responsible, a part of, the reason I have the grandkids I've got. Because if it was a different father, it'd be different grandkids or great-grandkids. So I need to thank God because we are who we are because that's the way God let us be and the father he gave. So what I'm suggesting is today I praise God for the father he gave me and hope you can do that too and think about the bigger picture. The last thing on your notes, praise God for being my father. Praise God for being my Father. Obviously, the ultimate in fatherhood is God the Father. And I'm grateful to have God. Let me just read this passage. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, so that He might rescue us from this present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I thank God that He is our Father. I thought about this. I've commented before about it. Isn't it wonderful that God wants to be your Father? God wants to claim you as His kid, His child. Like we are, not like we're going to be. But He loves us and wants us to be His child now. Now, He knows that we'll probably improve along the way. But does He know all your good stuff? Does He know all your bad stuff? Does He know those places where you failed? And He still wants you. To me, that's awesome. This kind of Father that says, I know you in your fullest detail, probably more than you know yourself, and I want you to be my child. I want you to belong to me. He wanted it so much, as the scripture I noted said, that from God our Father, He gave Himself for us, that He might rescue us from this present evil age, He might get us out of this sinful world and bring us into Him. God loved us enough. God says, I want you to be my kid, my child, and because of that, I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to let Him die on a cross. And I could stop it all, but I'm going to let it happen for your sake. Thank you, God, for being my Father. That today, through faith in Jesus Christ, through receiving Him as our Lord and Savior, I can say God is my Father. Can you say that? You know, God, we think about God as a creator of everybody. That is true. But is there not a special father-child relationship when we come to God through Jesus and become His child? Is there not a unique connection between us and God the Father because of Jesus and our connection to Jesus? Thank you, Jesus, that today you died on the cross. And thank you, Father, that you're my Father. I hope you think about that and meditate on that. Thank you, God, that you're my Father. You're loving me. You're caring for me. You're disciplining me. You're guiding me. You're correcting me when I need to be. You're loving on me all the time. And so this Father's Day, I praise God for being my Father. Father to me, what a wonderful gift. So, as we come this day to celebrate, out of God the Father comes the joy of human fathers who follow the Heavenly Father to be a good Father in our world today. So, I think you take these principles, I pray, and ask God to help you live them out, that somebody can say about you, my dad knows God. My dad knows God. You come to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Jesus, today's a good day to do that. Today's a good day to say, I want God as my Father, my personal, close Father, not as the creator of the universe, which He is, but I want Him, and so I want to receive His Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for me and rose again. I receive Him so that I can claim today, you're my Father, God. Thank you. And I get to live with you and for you. Let's bow together.